It's Acts chapter 5, and we're going to find some people here who are going to talk about new life. New life. So I don't know, when you get in the book of Acts, it's just crazy. I mean, crazy awesome. What you'll find here initially is Acts 5, there's a husband and wife who sold some property, and they gave the money to the church, but they didn't tell the truth about it. So basically, they sold the property, let's say for $1,000, and they gave $500 to the church. What they said was, and we gave all the money to the church. Now, did they give it all? No. They just wanted to look good in the eyes of the people. Listen, there was nothing wrong with the property. There was nothing wrong with selling it and giving part of the money to the church. The problem was, they said, and we've here it is. You know, it's for everybody to share. And so after Ananias told his story, he was confronted and he said, hey, listen, you're not telling the truth, are you? Nope. Boom. Dead. Just like that. They cart him out and bury him. Wife comes in later. Hey, this is the amount of money you said you sold the land for, right? Is that true? Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, that's not true. We just buried your husband and you're next. Boom. Dead. Okay, so that's pretty crazy, right? I mean, when have we witnessed something like that? And you go on to read, what you find is apostles had the power to heal people. God had given them this sort of power, and they could cast out demons, they could heal diseases. Matter of fact, people were bringing the sick out into the street, hoping that Peter's shadow would just come across some of them who've been sick, that in his shadow there would be healing. Have you ever thought of that? You want to get in somebody's shadow so you can be healed? You read a little bit later in Acts, and you'll find they were taking handkerchiefs. I don't know what they used handkerchiefs for back then. I know what we use them for today. So it's to what? Okay, so typically you're blowing your nose or wiping your nose with this thing. And so they were taking handkerchiefs from apostles to people who were sick. And it doesn't say exactly how it worked. It just says they were taking them to them and they were healed. So I don't know if they just had to touch it or if they rubbed it on them, but healing from a snot rag just does not sound possible. And yet they were healed that way. And so just this is a time unlike any other. I mean, we believe there was apostolic power, absolutely. And we believe when the apostles died, so did some of those sign gifts. Doesn't mean the powers behind those gifts is not present and active. It absolutely is. It just works in different ways today. And so we'll see one of those ways here, again, just in Acts chapter 5. It's a little bit hard to... not just understand it, but just to think, man, this really happened. Somebody experienced what we're about to read here. So the bottom line is, all these people were starting to follow the apostles, and the apostles get in trouble by the jealous religious leaders. And so they put them in prison. And we'll pick up there with their story, all right? Acts chapter 5, we're just going to read about five verses here, 17 to 21. Acts 5, 17 to 21 says, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on these apostles, and they put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning, and they taught. The high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. So just briefly here this morning, I want to look at a few things that relate to this new life, okay? He talks about sharing these words of the new life. And so one thing is this. This new life is going to bring some freedom, but it's also going to bring some opposition to all who believe. All right? They're going to come with freedom, and it's also going to come with opposition. So you've got Jesus ascending, Spirit coming on the apostles, them performing some crazy miracles, thrown into prison. How long did they stay there? They weren't there even one night, were they? All right, so it says that night they were set free. Let's read it here, verse 18 and 19. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail, verse 19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And so these guys were freed in a really spectacular way. So Let's just be clear here. I'm not suggesting if you're a Christian and you find yourself in prison, you won't stay there for more than a night because you'll be set free by the power of God. Okay? That's not the takeaway from the story. That was their real experience. What we're looking at here is you and I actually have been miraculously set free, just like the disciples were, apostles were, if we've been saved. The Bible teaches that sin is its own prison. And we're bound up in that prison, and there's nothing we can do to get out of that prison. And yet here comes a Savior, and one of the ways He works is to rescue us or to provide the way for us to be released or set free from that prison. Have you ever been at a point in your life where you were down and out? I mean, just down and out, like, I've got no hope here. You know, I think about athletics when I think of that. Sometimes a team just gets down and out. They're missing all their shots, or it's fourth down and they don't get the first down, or you're stepping up to the plate ninth inning and you strike out, or it's two strikes. You've been in that position in life where you're just down and out. Sometimes we find ourselves there, but here we find that even in the down and out, there can come new life. It's like when the referee throws the yellow flag on a fourth down and you get new life. You get another set of plays. Or it's like when the guy steps up to hit and it's foul ball and the guy goes to catch it and it falls out of his glove. Like, oh, hey, we got another chance here. All right? New life means I have an opportunity and it's something that happens to me. And so here, when we are saved, that is something that works in us, something that sets us free from the sin prison. So you've got the idea of freedom, but you've also got the idea of opposition. And I don't know that I have to remind you a whole lot, but we've got a lot of people against us right now. Do you know that? If you watch TV for any amount of time or you read your news on the internet or in paper, whatever you do, we don't find other religious people being attacked. I mean, I'm not seeing, you know, Buddhists being massacred. I'm not saying that that hasn't happened. I'm just saying I don't see it on the news right now like that's what's going on. Or we're not seeing where other religious people are being driven out of their country to be refugees somewhere else. So predominantly what we see is this attack on Christians. It's worldwide and it's in this country. And so Jesus is just trying to make us aware of some of these things. And we see that here in our text as well, right? These apostles had been set free, but they had people against them. God was on their side, but not everybody was on the side of God. And so Jesus made this promise in John 15. He says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. I think sometimes we need to remember that we have a God who is for us, but we also have a world that's against us. Opposition will rise up. People will not like you. They will look to snuff you out or silence you. They don't want to hear you talk about God. They don't want any conversation along those lines. And even to a degree where they're willing to take life. So, do you ever get afraid? Now, I've talked with some Christians here recently based on some of these attacks that go on. We've got people, Christians, who are afraid. Afraid that it's going to happen in this country. And if it happens in this country, then it means it can happen in my city. And if it happens in my city, it means it could be me. So, we've got people who are kind of afraid to go out of their homes. People who are afraid to really let people know that they love God. Just kind of suck in and just withdraw because we get fearful. I think we need to remember that Jesus said, if they hated me, remind yourself, they're going to hate you too. Okay? It's just par for the course. And so when we look around and go, why is all this happening? We should say, Jesus said it would. Right? Nothing's out of bounds. Nothing's out of line here. This is exactly happening just like He said it would. Okay? And so yes, it can stir up some emotion in us, but don't live with that dominant fear. Remember, Jesus said, we've talked about it a couple times this morning, John 3:16, whosoever believes will receive what kind of life? Eternal. Okay? So your life is not a temporary life. At the point of salvation, you'll live forever. This is just temporary here, however long our stint is. But if it's 40 years for me, God says it's time to check out, okay. I don't stop living. I'm just getting released out of my prison of this body temporarily. But I'm going to go on and live forever. So there's no real cause for fear here. Right? So I don't want you walking around just being terrified that terrorism can happen in my neighborhood. Maybe it will. But they can't terrorize my soul. Didn't Jesus say, don't fear the one who can kill the body, rather fear the one who can kill both body and soul and cast it into hell? Right, you fear God, trust God, He'll take care of those sorts of things. And so in this new life, we're going to find freedom. Salvation, you get set free from sin, but you'll also find that you got people against you and they're not for you. All right, another thing is we're going to be lived. New life is to be lived and it's to be shared publicly, regardless of the cost. Lived and shared publicly, regardless of the cost. And so think about the apostles for a minute. Their imprisoned past would not define their purpose in the present. It's a lot of P's. Did you catch that? Their imprisoned past would not define their purpose in the present. Have you ever tried to do something for the Lord only to have it shoved back in your face and then you say, I'll never do that again? I talked to this person and they just didn't want to hear it. I'll never talk to them about God again. You know, did the angel release these apostles from prison so they could just go about life and not talk about God anymore? No. They were released to go do something very specific. And so let's look at it. Verse 21 says, at daybreak, talking of the apostles, they entered the temple courts as they had been told, and they began to teach the people. And so what would be their primary concern there? What would be your primary concern? Going back to prison. Right, I'm going to go back. You're telling me to go back into this temple court where the people are who threw me in that jail. You want me to go back there and do the same thing. I'm going to end up in jail again. We don't find their main priority, their own safety. And yet how often do we pray, Lord, keep me safe? And we don't find their main priority anything other than whatever God had told them to do. And here it was to go back in and share the same words with the same people. Whatever happens, we'll leave that in the hands of God. And so they'd been given new life. And that new life was to be shared publicly. Right? And that's how it works with you and I as well. New life is not something we just keep to ourselves. I've talked to I don't know how many people about that. My faith is mine. And I don't need to offend people. They believe differently. That's okay. They can believe that way. This is the way I believe. Well, you're right. It is okay. They can believe that way and you can believe your way. But we've been commissioned to tell, right? Part of being a follower of Christ is that we tell people about Jesus. And so here we see they had been imprisoned, and yet they've been set free to go right back into the same place where they found the hostility and to share the same news. The Bible talks about us being like lamps. Remember what it says? You don't put a lamp where? You don't put it under a bushel because nobody sees it. Where do you put a lamp? You set it up high. Remember, it says we're to be like a city on a hill, and so everybody can see its light. And so nowhere do you find in there where it says, okay, if it doesn't work out for you, just go pray and keep your faith to yourself and just ask God to keep you safe and maybe live a good long life, and ultimately you'll be able to be with Him forever. If that happens, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that shouldn't be the motivation of our heart. So are there costs? Absolutely. Are we willing to pay those? Is the question. And do they determine my purpose? Do they determine my purpose? If God's asking me to do it, it doesn't matter what the cost is. And so new life that's going to set me free, but it's also going to bring with it some opposition. This new life is to be lived, but it's also to be shared publicly, regardless of the cost. And then here last, new life is offered to all through the living Word of God. New life is offered through the living Word of God. So these apostles had been set free, and now they were told to go tell others the very thing that had set them free. So let's go back to verse 20. This kind of relates to where what we were talking through here before this message here. It's, verse 20 says, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Go stand in the temple and tell the people all about this new life. And that's sort of what we've done here today. Right, this is what God's done in my life, and this is who God is. And we're a testimony to everyone in the room that if He's done it for me, He can do it for you as well. And so they said, you go and you tell all the people all these words of life, all about this new life. You know, every week here since last Easter, we've been singing a fifth song. What's the fifth song? You know what it is? The words of life, that song we sing after we pray here, That chorus says what? So come, awaken our hearts, illumine our minds, magnify Jesus Christ. Come, renewing our faith and changing our lives with what? With these words of life. Okay? So when we share God's word, and you've got to know this, when you share truth with somebody, it doesn't need your passion to make it activated in somebody's life. Right? It doesn't need you to have a full understanding of it for somebody to go, oh, I get it now. Right? That's the work of the Spirit. Our role is just to share all the words. And so we tell them about Jesus. We tell them that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. We tell them that He will save you. We tell them that there is peace or there's comfort for your sorrow. There's a healer for your brokenness. There's somebody who will remove your suffering. He'll give you this clarity, whatever it is that you need. We tell them these words. We don't make it true. God backs it up. And so our role is just to share it. So here are the apostles. They didn't say, go in and change people's lives. They said, go in and share the words of life, the words of this new life. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and they are full of life. Full of the Spirit and full of life. And so the point here at the end, church, is just to share it. Live it, well, know it, live it, and share it. And then let God be God. This new life is offered to anybody who will receive this living word. And so I just wonder today, have you received the living word of life? I'm not asking you, have you bought into a concept? I'm not asking you, have you subscribed to a theory or a way of thinking? Christianity is not a way of thinking. There's plenty of people on the planet being brainwashed into a way of thinking. What makes somebody strap a bomb to themselves and walk into a room and blow it up? Because they've bought into a brainwashing of a way of thinking. Christianity is not a way of thinking. It's a reality to experience. God is not just a concept. He's being. And He's real. And so maybe you've never really received Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've subscribed to a way of thinking, but you've never acknowledged that you are a sinner and there is a God that you will give an account to who's provided a way for your salvation. Maybe today you'd just like to repent of your sin. Humble yourself and say, I know that I've sinned, and ask God to save you. His promise is He will. Right? That's for whosoever here this morning. Maybe you'd like to receive Jesus today. Maybe you've received new life, but you're kind of scared to speak up because you know it's going to cost you. Listen, my family's all getting together Thursday, and the last thing we need at the table is a God conversation. Because this girl's going to get all frustrated, and this guy's going to blow up, and this guy's going to bring up the past, and it's just going to get ugly. So we're just going to talk about little happy thoughts that makes everybody happy. I'm not trying to ruin your Thanksgiving. What I'm saying is, if these are words of life, then share it. Share it. And I'm not saying you've got to beat people up with it, but don't be silent. Don't be silent. Let's share the truth, and then let's just let God be God. How awesome would it be? You know, I tend to err on the side of the glass is not quite full. What do you call those kind of people? All right? And so I tend to look at it like, well, they're not going to believe, so I'm not going to share anyway. Did you hear how they were just talking? See how they were treating their kids? They'll never listen to me talk to them about Jesus, and so I say no for them. And that's not my call to make. Right? It's not our call. God just said, go share the words. Go tell them all the words of this new life, and then let me be God. So maybe you'll have an opportunity, or maybe you'll try to pray for one or look for one as you sit around a table with some family here this week. We'll be praying for you. You pray for us as well. We'll be eating with 3 or 4 international students who don't believe in God. They're going to be sitting around a table with 20 people who do believe. And pray that the influence there would make them curious. And pray that we could share a word in a language that they could understand. And then just pray for God to use that. All right? You pray for us, we'll pray for you as you gather with your family or friends or people that are close to you in your life. And